Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Today's Business Leaders. I'm excited because this show was on a little bit of a hiatus for a short time, but I'm back on it and I'm having some amazing guests come on. And today I'm really excited because Cam Hall is going to be our guest and he's going to talk about really what fatherhood is all about. He's created a mastermind called the Dad's Making a Difference Mastermind, or DMD for short. And this is a topic that I'm really passionate about, being a father myself and having a lot of experiences in growing up that led me to understand what kind of father I didn't want to be. And so I'm really excited to have Cam on today. So we're going to dive in here in just a moment. So welcome to the show, Cam. I'm grateful for you investing some time here with me and with the audience. And I'm really excited to talk about everything you have to share. So welcome on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Gabe. You know, it's great to connect with you on here doing such great work. And I'm glad that we were introduced to each other and able to have this conversation. Thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to dive into your work here in a little bit, but being somebody that identified a problem and found like this is something you wanted to solve, you know, I can definitely see that you're an entrepreneur. And so I'm curious, when did you first realize that you had entrepreneurial tendencies, or when did you first realize that you were an entrepreneur?
I first realized I was an entrepreneur, had those tendencies when I was a struggling brand new dad, new husband, professional, and knew I wanted to do a little bit more. And I knew I was called to do more and have a bigger impact than I was having in my job. Now, I had nothing wrong with my job. I enjoyed my job. I was in education for 17 years as a school leader, vice principal in a high school. But I'm also a dad. And I wanted to be around my kids more. And I wanted to be more present. And I wanted to have more opportunity for them and my family. And so I was like, how can I do this? And so I went through a pretty dramatic health transformation myself in my early 30s. And that guided me. Sorry. 8 o'clock in the morning here. I still got my morning voice. It guided me to a path where I was like, I need to teach more men how to take control of their health and how to take control of their fitness and how to be more present with their families. And so I started my first business is called Fight the Dad Bod. And I started that in 2015 to help fathers live more fit, healthy, and fulfilled lives with their families. And then I had this bug, and I had, you know, as an entrepreneur yourself, you know, you have this bug and you start to see these gaps and you see the areas that men are struggling in. Mm-hmm. And through my one-to-one coaching program, I got to know guys on a more personal level. And while their health and fitness brought them in, I saw what kept them in. And it was the relationship. It was the accountability. But it was also looking for answers to questions outside of health and fitness. Questions about balance, questions about purpose, about being a more present father. I was like, guys need more than this. Guys, like health and fitness, it's important. And I still do that. Fight the Dad Bod's still a thing. But I knew dads needed more. And so that's why I started Dads Making a Difference. Because I want dads to be able to make a difference in their family, but also as entrepreneurs, make a difference in their business and serve in the community around them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm really excited about learning all about this because I have seen in so many different scenarios, not only in my own life, growing up, I didn't really have, you know, the dad that I would have, you know, probably benefited more from, but, you know, what I did learn from him is basically everything not to do. So it worked out okay. So I'm definitely grateful for everything the universe sends my way. I'm grateful for, cause it's always a good lesson and a gift. But so I kind of started out there with not having the support and guidance that I needed. I'm really grateful that my grandfather stepped in and raised me and taught me so much about what it is to be a man. And I think it's an ongoing journey for me, at least. I'll be turning 40 this month. And I probably for one of the first times, I feel like I'm in a place where my business is the way I want it. My family life is the way I want it. I have a good relationship with my fiance and my son. And I'm also contributing at a level that matters. And, or that I feel significance from. And it's not been an easy journey to get there. And it's taken a lot of painful lessons and a lot of, you know, self-discovery. And so what, in your mind, what does it take to be in that place? Because I've kind of like through lots of bumps and scrapes and screw ups and mistakes gotten to where I am. So I'm excited that you're out there, you know, giving people a path and a process to really achieve what they want, but they probably don't even know what they want or how to get there. So, you know, you talk about like the pillars of fatherhood, the pillars of being a man. Tell us a little bit more about that. Cause I'm curious. Cause I've kind of learned so much on my own and I'm happy with where I'm at, but I'm sure there's a faster, better path.
You know what? I think when we look for faster, we're not always looking for the better path.
True.
Right? And I listen to you speak right now, and I listen to you speak in reflection of your experience and how that shaped you to get to where you are, right?
Yeah.
I think that path shouldn't have been any other way than it went for you, because look at where you're at today for your family.
Definitely.
And, you know, everyone has their own story. I have my own story. You know, I'm grateful my dad was in my life. You know, my parents had a healthy marriage. Now I've shared stories on other podcasts where I say, you know, dad was in my life. He wasn't always present. Like he wasn't mm-hmm. always there. And it was because he was working so hard. But I know that my dad always loved me, mm-hmm. you know, so we have a good relationship that way. You know, if I look to a path that's easy, it would have been easy just to say, I'm going to quit my job and start my business and be the sole provider for my family and bring my wife home and have this, you know, miraculous life with my kids, right? Like we all want that. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to quit my 9-to-5, escape the rat race and do what I'm called to do. Well, my journey has not been like that. My journey hasn't been like that. You know, when I started Fight the Dad Bod in 2015, was my dream. I'm going to get to this insert number here, dollar amount per month. Yeah. And this is going to make it legit. You know, this is going to make my business successful. Yeah. And I hit some big numbers and with Fight the Dad Bod, and I never felt successful. And it's amazing how we wear that, right?
Yeah.
Because I just still felt there was more. But I'm going to be transparent and honest with you. I love education. I love connecting with youth. You know, I still am a vice principal of a high school. I do that. That's my full-time job. And then I run businesses on the side that aren't really on the side, but I've surrounded myself with strong people who can help run a business so I can still do what I'm passionate about and then take my expertise like you are on here and take my expertise and then branch out because I have a larger purpose than being just in a high school. But what I've learned working with a group of, you know, I lead a group of 115 staff every day. And through those conversations and navigating the complexities of that environment, I've learned how to take those skills and that passion, my passion for connecting with people and building relationships, to start Fight the Dad Bod, to start Dads Making a Difference. I was a business coach in a program called Coaches Creating Impact for almost 2 years, where I helped new entrepreneurs start their business and get to those first consistent 10K months. Right?
Yep.
And I love doing that too. But we all go through seasons in our life, Gabe, that we have to take a step back, recalibrate what's important and move forward, right? Not every journey's fast, not every journey's easy, but a mentor of mine says that, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go further, go together. And that's why a mastermind or a coaching program is so important.
Yeah, that's excellent. And you're definitely right. It's, we all want the fast win. We all want the fast path, but that doesn't necessarily build character. And we don't, even if we're successful, we don't know why we were successful. Like we don't actually know why, and it's hard to repeat. And so, yeah, I totally agree with that. That's a good thing to call out. And so what, inside of, Dad's Making a Difference, inside of your mastermind, what are the things that when people come in, like, what do they think is going to happen or where are they starting maybe? And then what is the process that you coach and guide them through? And what are the kind of results that people are getting inside of that? Because I think having that community, having that support and having people around you, like you said, you can go a lot farther when you have, you know, we have other men around you instead of thinking you're going to do it all on your own.
Yeah. And I love that question because that was a crafty way to get back to the actual question you asked me about 5 minutes ago. I love it. That's a skilled guy who's like, no, I asked you about the pillars and dad's making a difference and you never asked it. So Gabe, I appreciate you. So, you know, dad's making a difference is all about, you know, parenting for one. That's why it's called dad's making a difference, but parenting and purpose and providing and physical health and play. And I love play. I think that's an important part for dads is to get together with their families and play and do things they enjoy. But we can't get to that point unless we feel that we're being successful in the other areas. We got to be able to provide for our family. Like we're called to be a provider. It's inside of us to do that. And so does that mean you're an entrepreneur and building a business? Does it mean you're rocking your 9 to 5 and being proud of it? Like there's a way to provide, you know, living with purpose and living on purpose with intention and being present is important. Yeah. Of course, that parenting and passion with your spouse piece has to intertwine in there because as things fall apart at home, the things around you are going to start to disintegrate. I've seen really, really successful guys have a marriage that blows up and then shortly but follows their business, right? Because they just can't manage what's going on. And then, of course, physical health. You know, my passion's in physical health, fitness, nutrition, making sure your health is your foundation because without your health, you have nothing. Yeah. And if your health gives out, you're not going to be around to be able to do all these other things. And so within the Dad's Making a Difference Mastermind, we focus on those five pillars. Guys come in with different needs. Some guys are just looking for community. Some guys looking for accountability. Some guys need direction with business. Some guys need direction with health or any one of those pillars. And so being surrounded by a group of men who can speak into each other's lives as givers, not takers, who come in giving to a conversation, adding value, sharing experience. It's such a valuable thing for our members. You know, we just launched our first, I call it the beta group to see if this is a thing that rocks. And so it rocks, man. Like the guys who are in that first group are loving the weekly connection. They're loving the ability to jump on our weekly calls. They're looking forward to our first live in-person event because they're starting to build relationships that go beyond what they have maybe in their community. There's a lot of guys out there. I don't know if you've seen this where you are in Ohio, but there's a lot of guys that over the last 3 years have started to live in isolation and they're looking for connection.
Yeah.
And most men have 1 to 2 close friends that they can count on. Well, when you surround yourself with a trusted group of advisors and you surround yourself with givers, you start to build those strong relationships that will push you to succeed in other areas of your life.
Yeah. I think it's really easy because there's seasons where life requires it. But I think it's really easy to be alone and think you're walking it all alone and like isolate yourself, like you said. And like I said, I think there are seasons that's what life requires. But in the long run, it definitely is challenging and difficult. And so what would you encourage, you know, the men, the fathers out there to think through, or what actions can they take to like go from that place of saying, I have to do it all my own. I've handled it all myself. I've had bad experiences when I've tried to have connection or support. Obviously all of us have been wounded in some way, you know, in lots of ways. And that may be one of them. So when somebody's, you know, saying like, I think I need this, but I don't want to experience what I did again, or I'm better off alone. I've been doing fine that way. And they don't really have that close connection. How would you challenge somebody to rethink that or to be open to that connection? Or how do you guide somebody through that? Because I've definitely had those seasons where I'm like, I'll just do it on my own and be easier and simpler. And I don't want to deal with what I dealt with last time.
That's a great question. It has layers to it. But when you think about why men do that, this is what I've seen. And I can't speak to everyone who's watching this, but with the men that I've connected with, men who have found themselves preferring, they would say, oh, I prefer to do this alone. I prefer to work alone. You know, I don't need this. I'm doing good as it is. When we peel back the layers, it truly gets to a point where they don't really know who they are. And if they don't really know who they are professionally, you know, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, you know, physically, if you don't know where you're at in those areas, it's really hard for you to open up and let other people in. And it's really hard for you to open up and start to speak into other people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, I have gone through such a dramatic process of period of growth over the last 2 years personally, where I now feel that I'm okay coming on here and saying to you, ask me anything, because I'll be vulnerable, because I don't feel like I have to protect myself. And when we're on our own, I challenge you, if you're a guy right now saying I can do this on my own, can you, or are you just trying to protect yourself from the vulnerability it takes to bring other people into your life?
That's a good point. What do you think it is about like vulnerability that does attract people and give us the support we need? Because I've definitely walked through that too, and realized the same thing. But it was scary. It was really scary to let people in for multiple reasons. But what actually happens? Like, what's the result of that transparency? Or what do you think dynamically and energetically is happening when we decide, all right, I'm just gonna be transparent and be who I am?
Yeah, there's two sides to that. There's the side that, why aren't people being vulnerable? And I think there's a fear there that people will judge, that people won't want what you have, that, you know, we hear it in the business world all the time. And when I'm working with guys who have businesses, or when I'm doing business coaching and leadership coaching, it's that imposter syndrome we hear so much about, but we don't really know what it means. You know, I see imposter syndrome as being a part of a lack of vulnerability, because you're afraid, like you're afraid to be open. Yeah. And so people won't go there. But when you are vulnerable on the flip side of it, and you just like say, okay, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to tell people where I'm struggling so people can actually speak into my life. When you're vulnerable, it builds trust, because you're real and people want to see real. Gabe, I'm sure you've seen online social media right now, if somebody's scrolling through their social media feed, every third item that they see, video, image, whatever it is, it's an ad. It's a sponsored ad targeting you, and you start to see these and you're scrolling through them as fast as you can, because there's this part in your brain that person's not real. This is just meant to sell me something. This is just meant to, you know, pique my interest, so I will bring out my credit card. And too often in entrepreneurial communities, I see that. I've been part of large business masterminds, massive, where people are really successful, but you sit in that room and you're like, there's 180 people in this room. I don't feel that I actually know one of them. Yeah. Like, is this a front, or is this who they actually are? And so when you're vulnerable, people know you. People can trust you. They see that you're a real human being who struggles, who has to run out of his office 2 minutes before a podcast interview, 8 a.m. in the morning, and wipe his son's nose from, you know, like that's what it is. And so there's a power in vulnerability, just being real, because humans crave being surrounded by good humans, right? Yeah. People who they can relate to.
Yeah, I like how you broke that down, because it's definitely, when we are vulnerable and real, it does increase trust. And there's tons of like direct marketing studies and scientific studies around the fact that if you just admit some of the problems with what you're offering, or you're just honest about where it is, more people will buy from you because they'll trust you more. So like you just shared, like your mastermind is a beta. And so everybody was like, and I've launched multiple betas, and I myself was like, this is beta. It might suck. If I totally screw it up, I'll just refund you, which I think maybe in one occasion actually had to do that. But I just thought, like, we're just launching this. There's the value we're trying to create. It's going to have holes and problems. And everybody actually is super attracted to that, because it's just honest. And so I really like that you called that out, because pretending we're perfect is a great way to continue to isolate yourself and push people away. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, you know, that the whole beta thing.
Yeah.
You know, when I said it to the guys, they're like, okay, so how many groups are there? Like, do we get the crowd? I'm like, yo, what you see? This is it. You guys are hand selected. Yeah. Like, you hand selected me. I'm like, I'm gonna be honest, guys. I sent out 40 messages, and you're the 8 guys who said yes. So you know, but really, it is targeted. It's not just like this scattershot, like we're gonna accept everyone in the DMD, right? There's an application process. I'm sure you have that, you know, in your business, but it's because you want people who are a good fit and people who understand that vulnerability is important.
Yeah.
But when you're together, again, I'm going to go back to this, when you're together and everybody's kind of being vulnerable and able to have open communication, they start to see that, no, this is a really good fit. Like, this is really working. I have guys in the group right now who, 2 guys I had conversations with this week, like, Cam, I don't know how I feel about doing this. You know, I'm like, man, it's been a month and a half. like stick with it. And they're like, well, we just want to stick with it to climb the mountain in the spring. Cause that's in our live event. We're meeting in Banff, Alberta, which is a beautiful place. Nice. It's like one of my favorite places. It's about 3 hours from my house. And so we go there often as a family, Banff and Camor. And one of the things we will do is, you know, there's a power of doing things together. There's guys in our group.
Yeah.
Can I share a little bit of this? Yeah. I'm super excited about
this. Absolutely.
There's guys in our group have never seen the Rocky Mountains. Guys from all over North America. And we're going to fly into Calgary, Alberta. We're going to be in a coach, like a rented bus. And we're going to drive out to Banff, about an hour from Calgary. And I can't wait. There's a point on the highway where you come over this hill. It's called Scotsman's Hill. And you come down and you finally just like see this range of rock. Like you can see the mountains for a long time, but that's the first time it's like there. Yeah. And I've done that drive with people who've never seen the Rockies before. And I've seen the emotion. I'm like, that moment of these guys coming over that hill together in the bus, talking and seeing this, and it's going to be pretty powerful. Like there's always power in doing something and meaningful, you know, opportunities to do things together. And then climbing the mountain, it's a hike, but it's a climb. Like it's going to be a struggle. So we got guys who are like on workout and fitness plans to get ready for this. We have other guys who are just like at the mental piece. I don't like heights. I'm like, you'll be okay. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, and, but to do things together. And I think my purpose in sharing this and my excitement for this is I've been a product of coaching in teams my entire life. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that I've achieved individually or on my own that has been as exciting and meaningful as things that I've been able to achieve as part of a team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a huge part of like how all humans grow and succeed is with people around them. And I think even more so when we have a goal to conquer and something to accomplish, I think as when we come together as men with that, it definitely creates that bond and trust and a ton of growth. And like the events I've gone to where we've done things like that, or, you know, few times a year, I try to hit it once a quarter, but it's, you know, 3 to 4 times a year, my son and I will go on a father son trip and go whitewater rafting or we went to Alaska last year. We, you know, we do all sorts of different things. And like those times, you know, he remembers, I remember. And it's like, those are the moments that really matter. And so I'm really excited that you're doing that. That sounds like an amazing, amazing experience that everyone's going to have. And that kind of challenge is healthy. It does help us overcome our fitness challenges or fears or, you know, not doing something we've done before. And I think we're made for that kind of thing. But in our modern world, it's easy to escape that and not have a healthy amount of adversity. I think that this periods where I've felt the worst or not really felt like I was living my purpose or things like that has been when I haven't had enough healthy adversity in my life. So I don't know if you've ever noticed or experienced that, but that's definitely something that's been important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. You know, I've definitely experienced some healthy and unhealthy adversity in my life. But like I said, over the last 2 years, been going through this process of in period of growth where you realize that these things are good. Like, it's good to build resiliency. It's built to go through it and trudge through it a little bit.
Yeah.
See who you are.
Definitely. I'm curious about one other thing that you mentioned too, Kim. You talked about how important it is to play, like to play with our kids, to play with our family. And that's something that I have not been strong in. It's something I'm really actively trying to work on in the last, you know, year or two. And so I'm sure you probably coached or work with people on this front, but if you've worked with somebody or if you've experienced where like there wasn't any play time or connection between, you know, father and their kids, how do you overcome that if you never had that example in your life?
I've had guys in my group. I've coached guys who fight the dad bod. I have guys in my life, some of my closest friends who didn't have that father figure who was present. And so, man, you know, this time to build experiences with your kids and an opportunity to build a relationship with them and set a standard for them where, you know, we talk about standard. I had a conversation with a guy, Josh Cacciadorian, about standard of masculinity and what this means to teach to our sons. And this is a huge conversation right now for dads. How am I more present with my kids? How do I become more active with my kids? The play part. Ken, what do you mean when you mean play? Like I get those types of questions. And what I mean by play, I want to go back to that for a minute. Yeah, it's my son, Braylon, who's 8 years old. It's, you know, throwing the ball in the backyard or he wants to wrestle. That's his this is jam. He loves to wrestle. And there's times, Gabe, I come home and I'm just like, the last thing I want to do right now is wrestle, buddy. You know, yeah. I'm exhausted. And then I ask myself, why am I tired?
Yeah.
Like, because the things that I'm prioritizing over my family are taking my energy from me. And so if I'm going to prioritize my family as the important part, I need to push through. And I just honestly, there's times I have to work at it. I have to work at wrestling with my son and not just wanting to just crash and read a book or something. Like, this is what I'm doing it for. Like, this is my driving why. I got pictures in my office is filled with pictures of my family, because there's times where I'm standing at my desk in my office. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I look up, I'm like, okay, yes, I do. Here we go. And so, you know, as a guy who loves to play with his kids, loves to hike, mountain bike, swim, kayak, all these things with my family, that stuff takes effort. Yeah. And a lot of guys who are struggling with that, and I don't know, maybe you find yourself in the same. It's really easy to put effort into something and work into something when you know it's going to take effort and work. If you're building a business, if you're going to a job, if you have a project you're working on, you know that will take effort and work. And your family's always kind of there.
Yeah.
And when we're with our family, it's almost like we tend to like take the foot off the accelerator and use that time to relax. And yes, there's times that you need to relax.
Right.
But do it together. Be with each other. And playing doesn't have to be always doing something active. Playing can be Braylon and or my daughter Maya as a cuddler, like just to lay on the couch and just like cuddle, just like be there together.
Yeah.
You know, she's 10 years old. So I was challenged not to say this and speak this into reality, but I fear, having worked with teenagers, that there'll be a time when my daughter's 14, 15, she doesn't want to cuddle with dad anymore. Right. Yeah. And so I'm taking every moment I can to do that. So when you think of your areas of your life, your family and your work, your work takes effort, you know it, but so does your family. And your family is worth the effort and it's worth the attention. It's worth those times where you don't really want to wrestle, but you're getting on the floor anyway. Yeah. So I just challenge you and the guys listening to this to do that. And this sounds, I don't want to dehumanize this, but to schedule it.
Yeah. No,
from this time to that time, so my non-negotiable, I'm spending an hour or 90 minutes or 30 minutes with my kids just doing something.
Yep.
And if they're like, no, dad, I want to watch a show, or my son's doing math prodigy games for school. He's like, I just want to play prodigy. I'm like, okay, I'll play that with you for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But then we're going to go do something else. And we're just going to be together. We're going to play cards, do Lego, do something. Right. So be intentional about it.
Yeah. I think that's good advice, because you're right. Like, if we have the expectation that it's simple and easy and we don't have to put effort into our personal relationships and our family relationships and being, you know, being good fathers, then when it requires effort, we've already disappointed ourselves. And so that's something else that I've learned a lot about, is like setting the right expectation. And I definitely agree with you. Like, scheduling time is huge, because if you're running, you know, your business, if you have a successful career, like, you know how to run a schedule, you know how to show up to work on time. Like, you have some things down. And if you just apply that same knowledge and skill to like the things that matter to you, you can schedule and invest in that time. And that's been helpful for me too.
Yeah.
I also always share with folks that I do this. It's just kind of happens as it happens and as the business needs and what's going on. But there's been a few times over the last 10 years where I've decided I'm only going to work 4 days a week, and Fridays I'm going to have off so I can spend time with my family, with my son, like, and do things there. And anytime I do that, my business grows every single
time. Amazing. I've
never had it not grow.
Yeah.
And so the energy management around, like, where am I going to spend my energy, is helpful. And the other thing that I watch for, because I have Monday nights with my son, is when we hang out and do stuff together. And sometimes we play video games together. Sometimes we go outside and, you know, play street hockey, or, you know, go for a walk or do different things. If I'm setting myself up on Monday to think, okay, 5 o'clock, I'm done working, then I show up to my time with him with way less energy and focus. But if I'm like, my job would end until I go to bed, you know, especially on nights where I have time blocked like that, then I can show up and like, here's the next thing. I can show up with the same energy that I give to my team and my clients and like everybody that I get to interact with. And so that's good advice and a good reminder for me too, because I feel like I'm growing in that area, but it's definitely something I want to continue to improve in, because he just turned 11 and I have the same realization. I don't think it's even unhealthy fear that he's going to have his life, and like, he's going to be busy and doing things in just a matter of years here. And so I want to capture all the time I can.
Yeah, that's excellent. I love what you said there about not turning off at 5 o'clock when you get home. Yeah. Like, keep your brain going, like keep it going, and take this out from under here. Put this away, put this device away, put the phone away, you know, be present, you know, be present. Don't just be there, be present.
But yeah,
definitely. Yeah, time blocking and making it intentional is key for sure.
Yeah. The other thing that I always encourage myself with and other people when I'm talking about this is I've heard this from my therapist. I've read this multiple times, but they say that if you can give your kid like 20 minutes a day where you're actually paying attention to them, they will be completely set. They'll be healthy. They'll have a good relationship. And like, that seems like it's a good encouragement, because there are times where work is busy or there's a lot going on in life or there's a lot of challenges. But if you put the phone down and you just have a conversation or play with them for 20 minutes or do something, you know, that has been proven to like, that fills them up and that takes care of their emotional needs, and you're guiding and teaching them. And so as entrepreneurs and leaders, I think it's easy to be really extreme and be like, I'm going to, you know, take off 3 days a week and just do everything with my family, which would be great, but like, that's probably not sustainable. And it would be hard to shift to that immediately. But if we just make a little incremental change and say like, I can totally do 15 or 20 minutes of leaving my phone in the other room and like being present and doing whatever they want to do, you know, for a few minutes, then, you know, that can make a huge impact. So for me, I try to make those little incremental adjustments, and then my behavior shifts a lot easier, and I can hit the goals I actually want to hit.
Agreed. You know, like that one step at a time, that 1% mindset, whatever you want to call it, breaking it into little chunks. Like, you think about your son when he learned to walk. You know, he didn't just like pop up and start walking around the living room and everybody cheered for him, right? So it's like, that one step at a time, a baby learns to walk up one step, couch surfing, falls down, gets back up, keeps going. And then eventually they walk and it's like, oh yeah, this is great. You know, it's exciting. But the whole process of that one step at a time, the same thing you're conditioning yourself as a father to do is just do one thing at a time. Sometimes I'm going to stink at it. I'm going to fall down, and then I'm going to get back up and I'm going to be there for my kids and take one more step. And I just don't want dads to feel discouraged if they fall down and they feel like maybe this week went past and I wasn't the greatest dad that I wanted to be. And so just move ahead. That next step's the most important for sure. I guess I'm alone on here right now.
Right. Sorry about that. You were solo for a minute. I couldn't tell which side it was, but anyway, no, I appreciate that, Kim. I think this is such an important topic, because not only do we get the benefit of, you know, having the relationships we want to have, having the fulfilling life we want to have, but like you mentioned earlier, like if your family life goes bad, your business is going to be impacted. So, you know, for those of us that are super, you know, goal driven, that's excellent. And we need to remember that, you know, as much as we want to push and be successful at work, if we really take care of our whole self, like you teach in your mastermind and everything you've shared here today, that's what really moves us forward, is if we're healthy and integrated across the board, then we can have the purpose and the happiness and the success that we want. So I just really appreciate you spending time with us here today.
Yeah, of course. So
if somebody wants to learn more about you and connect with you and learn about the mastermind and the your other fitness things that you help people with, what's the best way to connect with you?
You can book a call with me. I'd love to chat with you, learn more about you. You can go to callwithcam.com. Pretty easy to remember, callwithcam.com. If you want to learn more about the DMD Mastermind, it's dmdmastermind.com, or go ahead and give the DMD podcast a listen. Dad's Making a Difference podcast comes out every Wednesday.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on here today, Cam. We'll definitely check in with you in another 6 to 12 months and see where things are at. I am really excited about what you're doing and how you're helping, you know, men really become who they want to be and have the support that they need. So I appreciate your time. I definitely encourage everybody, definitely grab a call with Cam. You can go to callwithcam.com. That's an awesome domain, by the way. we'll definitely have you back on soon. So thanks again for your time today, Cam.
Excellent. Thank you, Cam.